Hawk's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, hit us up on the text line. Coming up here in about 30 minutes from now, we'll hear from State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. And we'll get to your text here in just a moment. Just in here, the defense has an hour to fight the mistrial declared at the Clancy trial, the murder trial up in New England. So we will we'll keep an eye on that. Any further developments? Let's see here. Anything else in the news? We talked a lot of sports ball today. It's been the Lane train, as one might expect. I was listening to a clip of Jeff Landry, the governor of Louisiana. He says it's not as if they're trying to bring back players who were on an NFL roster that played, that it's different. The NCAA changes a rule. You declare for the draft. They come back. These players didn't necessarily play a down of professional football, I guess, and that this is the way it used to be, and these players were not made aware of that. So that's something to keep we're keeping an eye on there. Why they had to finalize the roster. So this is this sort of a merger of politics and public policy with sports ball as that continues on. Let's see here. Let's go back to the text line. Ultra Runner. Trump silliness is increasing, Lake America, and now the Trump straight, pure foolishness. I love Trump, but I loved him more when Susie Wiles was healthy. Felt like she moderated him from attacking on the worst inclinations. I can't help thinking her cancer diagnosis and treatment is depriving the White House of her wisdom and insight. Maybe to some degree, but Donald Trump's always been kind of a guy who does the unexpected. So I don't know if I would, like I said, maybe marginally. Hey, maybe she could say to him, maybe you rethink this. Certainly a possibility there. Something else we brought up at the beginning of the program, if you weren't listening, we're talking about Maria Bartiromo. So she was let go by Fox officially yesterday, but my understanding, based on reporting, is this has been an ongoing thing for about a month now. She hasn't been, well, for about two, three weeks, she hasn't been on any of her programming. The Fox Sunday show and then her morning show, Fox Business. And there was some speculation, just a long vacation. Or maybe it was, just a contract dispute or something like that that happens sometimes. What it turned out is do you guys remember about a month ago that Trump gave a big speech about China meddling in American elections? And he gave a big speech about it. And remember that speech in the lead up to it, we talked about it on this program extensively. A lot of the news coverage was not going to air it live. A primetime address, they weren't going to air it live. They didn't trust the President of the United States not to say something they thought that wasn't true. No, we just can't trust this president. And it was the conservative networks, Fox, Newsmax, et cetera. And CBS, like I said, and that probably is due to Barry Weiss being the head of news there. But it was very, very caveated with, well, you just need to be careful here because sometimes, so anyway. And they cover it, they air it, and then, like, right after on Fox, they act like the speech never even happened. It was the strangest thing. And it's all the other the networks that did not cover the speech wanted to talk about. So anyway, push comes to shove, we find out now it was Maria Bartiromo of Fox Business who said, who had a, I guess, a segment or a piece or something she wanted to do about it. And it was vetoed by the higher ups at Fox. And there's a backstory there going back to the Dominion lawsuit. So anyway, they steered clear of it. And I guess it got around, and the Trump guys, well, what's going on here? Why are y'all just totally ignoring this? This is our narrative. This is our messaging. And Bartiromo takes a screenshot of an email from the Fox brass, sends it to the White House. He gets back to Trump. Trump makes some phone calls. They're very upset with Maria Bartiromo for leaking the email. However, it results in her dismissal, and it's formalized yesterday with a very short and brief press statement from Fox. Donald Trump, True Social, his disappointment. However, since the departure of Caroline Leavitt as the press secretary, there's an opening there. And it's my understanding that suddenly Maria Bartiromo is near the top of the list here to take on that gig. What would that look like? I don't know. But there is, a long relationship with Trump and Bartiromo going back to his Wall Street days. Her history, she's kind of a groundbreaker. She was the first female to report on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, which was kind of a boys' club. She really gained her notoriety during the tech bubble. That could come probably not today. In my understanding, it's the day before a long weekend, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear this next week. 251-343-0106. But Ultra Runner, I think it's just mildly sillier. It's not surprising. Doesn't seem implausible that Donald Trump would start renaming geographic locations. It's kind of funny to me that people upset about Gulf of America or Lake America or anything else were the same ones who were all about changing the name of Fort Benning, Fort Rucker, Fort Jackson. It's okay when they do it. It's not okay when you do it, as we've learned with the banner controversy here in Mobile. More DEI texter. Ending the program was Johnson's goal, and he got what he wanted. Well, but don't do that. If that's the rules, then those are the rules. Does it say it's no fun when a rabbit's got the gun, DEI texter? Otter says, I moved to Alabama 4 years ago to state. Politics is direct, raw, brutal, and effective. Unbridled one-party rule is not complicated. It is complicated. It's not direct. It is, you got to be a Republican in Alabama to win in name only, at a minimum. And you got to pay lip service to it on the campaign trail. And that's good enough. Speaker Ledbetter says this, and he talks about this publicly. He says it's not going to be one vote that determines your political future in Alabama as a lawmaker. It's going to be you getting out in the community, being seen, being known. So you had to take these tough votes that upset some people who are on the conservative side, then so be it. even if it's right or wrong. There's 13 minutes and 55 seconds left in the defenses. They got a countdown clock on News Nation, is why I'm bringing this up. It's amusing to me. To challenge the mistrial the judge has declared. Tony, continuing on here. Jeff, I just moved into a new subdivision. Robertsdale, 65% of the residents are from out of state. Yeah, and that's you see this a lot around Alabama, particularly in three places. Shelby County, kind of limestone, Madison County, that west of Huntsville suburbs. And you see it in Baldwin County. And that gets back to my point. People who have moved here don't haven't established that connection with the local politics yet. So they lean on their ideology, their understanding, the notion Republican equals conservative. And they'll go out and vote in a general election, but they're not as invested in the local politics enough to go vote in a primary election. Let's see here. Toothless Bammer. This is business as usual in Louisiana. Still the only state whose governor fired a head coach at its flagship state, U. It has been a banana republic. And you know what, though, Toothless Bammer? You're not wrong. But it's going to make him a very popular governor. It's a lot easier to do this when you have, like, one school in your state. So, you look at the states like Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky. I guess Georgia's a little different. I got Georgia Tech, but there's not really that local footprint. Because with Mississippi, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Alabama, Auburn, and Alabama, Florida, Florida State, you get the idea. But LSU, Arkansas, Missouri, they are a flagship university, the flagship university, not a flagship university. It's very important to those people there. I think it's a political winner for him, for Jeff Landry. Yes, banana republic, perhaps. And a misplaced priorities, perhaps. But he's just kind of going where the political winds are blowing. I kind of admire it a little bit. It's raw politics. It's not necessarily steeped in any sort of conservative or liberal ideology. I mean, maybe it's right versus wrong in their mind. But they have rose-colored glasses when it comes to the Louisiana State University. Be dark. Got this at the thing at a yard sale for a dollar, and it's Big Al squeezing the dick of Aubie. Jeff, what happened to Just Love America? He asked. Well, I don't know. There's a multiculturalism that sort of is eaten away at that, I'm afraid. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried. Get on me, want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. State Senator Chris Elliott up in just a moment, so stay tuned for that. Programming note, we will not be doing a live show on Monday in observance of Labor Day. We'll be back on Tuesday, and haven't even begun to work on Tuesday's program, but we will have Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs, and maybe I can Maybe I could coerce Dale Jackson into being a Tuesday guest for 1 week only. But that's what is to be expected when we return from our extended weekend. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. Go try to work these couple of texts in before we get to our next guest. Did Fox have it out for her since the Beatty lawsuit? What's the countdown clock on Lawlessness and Pritchard? Do we think that there's the possibility here with the Pritchard situation of a last-minute deal? Maybe. I think there's a possibility, but the closer it gets, the more unlikely that could be. Fox probably did have it out for her. She survived a Dominion lawsuit. I think Tucker Carlson, that's why they cut him loose. Because he just wasn't going to be told, hey, Tuck, you can't talk about these voting machine stories anymore. That's part of our settlement or whatever. And he probably balked at it. Or maybe he didn't, and I've known Tucker for a long time, that he would sneak one in. And they didn't want to risk it. What do you think the reaction would be in the Fruity Nuts district if Pastor Johnson did the same thing like that there? Same thing. Very diverse group of people. Maybe not in the Fruit Nut District, but in the city of Fairhope in general. There's a lot of Doug Jones signs in my neighborhood. Including across the street. I see it every day. I'm voting for Doug. Okay. Have fun. It's always the yard sign thing, not something I've ever done. Always lived in like apartments or something like that until we finally got a house here. But the thing that's kind of interesting to me is, do you think that Doug Jones can, you're putting the sign up in your front yard, do you think he can win? Do you think he can be the next governor? Or is this your way of a virtue signal? I'm not like the rest of the people in Alabama. Is there a character component? Would you vote for a Republican ever? I guess if I lived in a blue state, would I, would I want to make it part of my brand? At least in my neighborhood, among my neighbors, people I see every day. To my profession aside, it is what it is. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. It's cultural. It's the same thing going on, I know, in Spring Hill and Midtown. There is a different component politically, a different way. And it's, this is Jonah Goldberg before he went crazy with Trump derangement syndrome. Was it, politics, you could boil it down to like the good of the collective versus the rights of the individual. Every policy debate. And sometimes that argument defies party lines. It defies ideological lines, especially when it comes to social issues. And there's this idea, this notion that the communal lifestyle, that you're drawn to that and not the open, vast landscape and the independence of living in a rural area, but you're drawn to the community and you want to be a part of a community and it's a communal lifestyle. And that says something about your politics. It's why New York is like it is versus rural Kansas. That's why flyover country is red and the cities are more densely blue. And I think maybe there's some of that. People want to be a part of something, tend to be Democrat. It takes a village, as Hillary Clinton once wrote. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Still time to get it. Your text in 251-343-0106. Joining us now, he is our returning champion. We talk to him every Friday around this time, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Great to be back in the south end of the state and out of Montgomery.
Well, that's about to change here, I guess, in a few months. We'll be back at it. I guess we could kind of start here. We still are, I think, anxiously awaiting to hear a little more from Tuberville. But my sense of it is, like, and this is kind of true universally, after Labor Day in a general election format, it's when you really start seeing campaigns getting underway. Typically we have a little bit different here because it's one party and you hear a lot in the primaries, but because of general elections, it's that Labor Day, sort of a milestone.
Yes, no question about it. I mean, it is the change is upon us, right? And so that's going to be exciting, to see. Breath of fresh air, a new fresh look at government in Montgomery and a new interaction from my standpoint of a governor with the legislature. I mean, I think that Governor Ivey, for better or worse, however you want to look at it, for the last 10 years came in to steady the ship. If that was her goal, it was certainly steady. No big changes, changes in staff, cabinet, et cetera. I think you are going to see big changes from Coach. Just from what he said so far. And so I'm excited about that as somebody who has tried to be an agent of change in Montgomery and has been successful in those fights in some areas and not successful in others. I'm excited to have a governor that's ready to mix it up.
So I know I've been meaning to ask you about, and it pertains to the I-10 situation and the restriping and expanding, widening the Bayway and how that's going to work. And it sounds, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but to talk about kind of able to do it without a significant construction or building a new Bayway. What's the real story there?
The real story is the art of the possible. And this is where I will give Aldott, some credit. Would everybody like a new elevated wide, Lake Pontchartrain, looking crossing? Yes. We can't afford that. Period. Full stop. That is not something the state of Alabama can afford. And so for years, we have been wrapped around the axle on a concept of a project that was never going to be something that Alabama was going to be able to afford. And this is why the president and his administration, Secretary Duffy and others, deserve so much credit. And frankly, Coach Tuberville and Senator Britt deserve so much credit for working so hard to get these requirements out of this project so that we could phase this project, so that we could actually get this thing moving, because Jeff, we were never going to be able to afford the scope of a widening, elevated, brand new Bayway and the bridge at the same time. It was too big for the state of Alabama to ever begin to handle. And so, this restriping of the Bayway, I know some people are scared of it. You should be. It's going to be a lot narrower and it's going to be a lot more interesting on how to get across. But the other answer is absolute inaction, and that's not something that would ever sit well with me.
So you just, I guess, you lower the speed limit, and what about, like, emergency vehicles? Like, I have lots of questions here. Are they able to widen it necessarily without really doing a whole lot of construction? Like, how is this going to work in your mind?
Paint is the short answer. And listen, all of your questions are valid, right? What does this look like? It looks like taking the existing Bayway and restriping it with new paint. Does it mean that there's not an emergency lane? Yes, there's barely one there now. You can get a car in it. You just can't get out of the car, right? And so, the answer is using the available room on the existing bayway to add another lane of traffic. It is, I understand that everybody has questions, but it's not complicated. It is just restriping the bayway.
You just do it one way, maybe, or because at some point you're going to widen 10 once you get across the bay, I assume, to Buc-ee's, the Buc-ee's exit. And that's going to kind of make it, you know, you're not going to have these perhaps as big of a bottleneck as you get on down the road. But, is it both ways? Like, how is, do you have any idea of the concept here or what we are to expect?
So the concept is to restripe the bayway, you know, it, both directions, right, to accommodate three lanes. The letting is happening right now for the widening of I-10 from the terminus of the bayway now to the Malbus exit. That's the first phase of that, with the understanding that that needs to continue at least to the Beach Express exit, if not beyond. But that will happen and be phased as well. Again, we can't make everything happen all at once. And so, we will continue to work to make sure that we phase this and that we get it done as funds have become available.
But you think it's entirely doable, because I guess that's the direction we're going, that this is kind of set in place now.
It's not perfect. And I'd rather have an elevated bayway that's wide as it can be, and we could land an airplane on, but we are unable to swallow that elephant. We can't get that done. And so what we're going to have to do is take it one bite at a time. And this is what is going to move the project forward. And this is what is going to happen. And it will move us in that direction in a phased approach. And it's much better, although it will not be perfect. And there will be folks that, you know, that don't like it, but it is much better than the other option, which is doing nothing.
And then when you get off the bridge, it's just a bottleneck and you have it backed up. Yeah. Like it always is. Right.
It's exactly. It's a disaster. And then, you got to do something. And this is the option. This is what we can afford. You know, businesses make those decisions all the time. Our families make those decisions all the time. You know, what is realistic and what can we afford? And this is what the state can afford. And I'm really thankful that the president and that our congressional leadership, especially, you know, Senator Britt and Senator Tuberville, sorry, Coach, have been able to get this across the line. Because, you know, the ironic thing was the thing that drove the price on this project more than anything else was the federal requirements that were put on us by USDOT and the Federal Highway Administration. That's what was making this so insurmountable. And so the fact that we're able to do this is because of the relaxation of those restrictions that were really put on us by previous administrations. And now we're to the point where, oh, hey, we've got a president that understands what reality is and what folks can and cannot afford. And so, you know, we're going to be able to move forward and actually accomplish this project instead of the state of permanent paralysis that we were in previously.
The safety concerns there, though, you feel like it can be done and have this as a thoroughfare that's relatively safe. I know that's just kind of a different way of asking the question I've already asked, but, you know, the car's not going to rub up against the wall there like it's Darlington or whatever in NASCAR.
What do they say in the Days of Thunder movie, you know, rubbing is racing?
Yeah.
Look, if you stay in your lane, you'll be in your lane and you'll be fine. If you weave outside of your lane, there's going to be a concrete barrier there to catch you. But the short answer is, if you stay in your lane and you drive in your lane and don't weave out of your particular lane, then you'll be fine.
And the wider traffic would just go, I guess, to Causeway, perhaps.
You know, I do think it's going to encourage some folks. I mean, obviously the toll is going to be an encouragement for some folks to take the Causeway. I mean, I think we'll see more utilization of the Causeway and folks that are intimidated by the Bayway may want to say, hey, listen, I'm going to take the slower, wider, you know, Causeway and make my way through that avenue as opposed to getting on the Bayway. And to the extent that happens, you know, great, works for me.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott, our program's returning champion. Yeah, contract review yesterday, one of the more intriguing parts of legislative business. Anything of note take place yesterday?
You know, there were, you know, it amazes me, and this is one of the things we do in the off season is really try to dig down in a lot of these professional services contracts. And some of the just, in my mind, the opportunities to really streamline state government abound. And this is where you see them. You see them where everybody has their own IT contract, where everybody has their own advertising contract, where everybody has their own background check contract. And it's all, you know, it's just so inefficient sometimes. And so what we try to do on contract review is constantly work on how to become more efficient, and these state agencies and the bureaucracies just don't think that way. And so it takes us focusing month in and month out on trying to force them into that, to do that. We also saw, I was proud of, an over $8 million contract to cut down on waste, fraud, and abuse in the SNAP program, right? The error rate that we have at the Supplemental Assistance Program, you can call it food stamps, if you will, to get cut down on that error rate, because in the big beautiful bill, there was a disincentive, if you will, to have a high error rate that will cost states money, as it well should. And so we need to get more efficient with that, and the state is taking that call for efficiency from the federal government, from the administration, seriously. We need to do better, and we are going to do better to cut down on that level of abuse.
Yeah, and that's been long talked about, but it does seem like it's been kind of a mandate, or at least a political mandate, if you will, from the federal government to get a handle on this. And then, yeah, well, what's the reward there, though? Because, Senator, I'm sure you run into this all the time, where you have these allocations for these state agencies, and then they get to the end of the fiscal year, and they still have money in the account, and they are looking for places to spend it. And it's not always, like, advantageous for the taxpayers.
No, not necessarily. In this case, though, there is a disincentive, right? And that is that the state's portion of SNAP increases if you have a certain error rate. So there's a matrix that goes along with that. And so the short answer is, then it is going to cost more money. The state's share is going to increase. And so it got the state's attention to the point, and other states' attention, where we said, hey, we've got to fix this. We've got to get this under control. You know, it's the old care, the federal government, and good for them, but the federal government is absolutely using the stick and saying, hey, y'all fix this or it's going to cost you a whole bunch more money.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. We spent a lot of time talking about the prisons and the borrowing and, you know, the next 20 years. I guess what I'm kind of surprised that we're a week removed from a lot of that. It just no one seems to care enough. And I you know, like that there's maybe it's in part sort of the politics, the political situation we live in. But there's no political fallout here for this plus up on this Suscambia County facility.
Well, I will tell you something. I'll give you a bit of good news. Apparently, the governor's office was listening, or did go back and listen to our exchange last week. And so while they may not talk to you, they were quick to pick up the phone and talk to me about some of the discussions you and I had just last week. And so you're being impactful, Jeff. They were clear on, wanted to clear up a couple of things. And one of those things that this is authorization to borrow funding from 2022. So this is not new authorization to borrow. That's good. You will recall they were unable to sell the entirety of the
right. The, they had a problem with the market bonds. When they went to bond. Right.
Exactly. And so they're simply filling out that portion of the authorized borrowing capacity and not the new $450 million that Senator Albritton was successful in pushing through. And so that's good news. That means they weren't, there's still some room left on the credit card, if you will. And I'll give them credit for that. They also assured me that they are going to address the delivery method. And I think while they wouldn't have agreed, I think, with the terms that I used, but are acknowledging that there have been problems with the delivery method that is being used currently. They've had contractor problems. They've had, you know, program management problems, and they're not going that way again. So they're going to use the standard Title 39, you know, design, then build, bid, then build, that we're much more accustomed to, that will give the state a lot more financial certainty in what this project is going to cost, and it will be fiscally constrained. And so I'm encouraged by that as well. We're not immune from the mistakes of the past, but at least we're learning from them, I think, is the message. And so I'm pleased with that.
Why do they do it this way? Well, they're not out in front of this. They're not talking. There's no spokesperson or anybody talking to the public here. And we become reliant on secondhand information from this governor's office to find out what's really going on. And I just, like, if you're really listening out there, like, why do you do it this way? Why do you let this fester for an entire week? And then I get it, you know, secondhand a week later. Why not get in front of these things?
I do think that you're correct in saying that communication on the front hand, both with the press, the media, the public, and certainly with key legislators, would be a smarter way to go about it. And so that's true for most government and certainly.
Well, they wait for you to go on the radio and raise this issue, and then they answer it, when all they had to do is say, look, here, you know, it's $123 million or whatever it is. This is how we're doing it. This is why we're doing it. This is what you need to know. You don't have to like it. But this, instead of like, oh, well, we'll address it if it becomes a problem.
Look, obviously, I agree with you and think that that's how they should handle this. I would encourage, I'm going to look forward to the next administration and encourage Coach and his team to adopt a different approach and be much more engaged with the legislature.
I hope they follow your advice. Senator, we got to get out of here. We always appreciate having you on. We'll do it again in a week.
Thanks for talking about weighty, meaty topics, and I'm glad people are listening.
State Senator Chris Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is a Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Triggered.
Snowflakes, the turds of our society.
Prepare for a complete meltdown. The Michael Berry Show, weekdays at 6.
Stop giving in to these dumb
on Mobile's FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning, I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5. Tonight at 6 o'clock, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office will no longer provide patrol and dispatch services to Pritchard. The Sheriff's Office took over these services in June when the first of five Pritchard police officers were arrested on corruption charges. The sheriff says that a contract for services needs to be established or they cannot continue. As of right now, no agreement has been reached. The Port City Classic returns to Mobile this weekend, and there's a concert tonight leading up to the big game. The gates open for the tailgate concert at Lad People Stadium at 4 p.m. and the concert begins at 7:30 p.m. Admission comes with a ticket to the game. Saturday is game day for the Port City Classic. A parade will kick off the big day at 10 a.m. The route will start on Warren Street. Later in the afternoon, Tuskegee University and Fort Valley State University face off. Kickoff is set for 4 p.m. Saturday and tickets cost $35. For WKRG News 5, I'm Shimani Baker.
Learn how Ben Murphy Roofing can help you with a fortified certificate and help you choose the best color and texture of your Atlas shingles to improve not only your home's integrity, but its curb appeal for years to come. Call Ben Murphy Roofing at 943-7144.
The topic of retirement can bring about a lot of different emotions. For some, it's exciting. For others, it's terrifying. Gary Garner of Relax and Retire Wealth Management understands the worries about retirement. But what if he could also help retire your worries today at 251-317-2599 and schedule a complimentary phone appointment or visit RelaxRetire.com.
Investment advisory products and services made available through Impact Partnership Wealth, LLC, IPW. Relax and Retire Wealth Management is used for marketing purposes and should not be seen as a guarantee of investment results.
Bring a little nature indoors to your office. Plants improve productivity and attendance by making a more pleasant working atmosphere, and they actually help filter the air. Carpets, drapes, new paint, and all kinds of furnishings can contain harmful chemicals that can cause headaches, burning eyes, and sinus problems. Nature Indoors will help you solve those problems by bringing a little nature indoors. Beautiful plants and a well-trained professional staff. Call Nature Indoors, 649-7733. Bring a little nature indoors to your office. 649-7733.
Another season of Auburn football is here.
This is Cobb right up the middle. Cobb, 45-30. Stays on his feet. 25-20. Foot race to the end zone. 10-5. Touchdown! 45 yards.
The Tigers open the season in Atlanta against the Baylor Bears. Coverage at 11:30 a.m. tomorrow on your home for Auburn football.
This is head coach Alex Golish. You're listening to Auburn's home on the Gulf Coast. FM Talk 106.5.
To the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. What's led to this Friday? How long will it take to complete the bridge itself? That's unknown. I mean, government projects are never on schedule. Rita, Bayway is already bad enough, and it is with existing two lanes. Ultra runner, when I fall victim to hyperfixation, the distractions like a good movie can help. Without malice, may I suggest Schindler's List? DEI texture. Elliot could pick up a phone and ask questions instead of being sensational and assumptive, but then you couldn't try to blame Meemaw. She's not going to pick up the phone. Typically DEI texter, speaking from personal experience. Captain John, one more here. I still disagree. The permits of my electric bill should go up. They will be making more money selling electricity. The data centers are mandated to build their own power plants. Problem solved. And then he goes on to talk about more about the data centers. Come up on Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
You talked about the bridge. Did you hear when Feinbaum was on with Dan and Dalton this morning? It's like his side off. He said, looking forward to coming down there and driving across the Jimmy Buffett Bridge. Of like, even Feinbaum's chiming in about the bridge.
Everybody knows about the bridge, don't they?
I guess. You know, I kind of stay in my bubble here. But, you know, with all your connections in North Alabama and telling me over time how... they're talking about our bridge. They're talking about it.
The Jimmy Buffett moniker would just add to this false conventional wisdom that you guys just want your free bridge to the beach.
Remember, Jeff has said that to y'all many times, but he and I talked about it back then, that was the angle they were using against the funding in the first place up there, that the people down here, we're all just like, basically it's 5 o'clock somewhere, we're all going to a tiki bar, and all we're doing is using the bridge to go to the beach.
That's all it is. It's
none of us have jobs or kids in school or families or stuff. No, we're just out here, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, that's all that happens, that's all we do.
When I lived in Mobile 20 years ago for a few years, I went to the beach like two or three times. It's just like it's its own thing, but everything
I love
near,
it. I go to the beach. I mean, we're going to be camping offshore weekend, but you know.
In their mind, everything that's near touching blue on the map is the beach.
It's correct.
My mom is the same way. To them, everything is south of the Dolly Parton Bridge is the beach. Like all we do is we hang out at the Floribama. And it's such a wrong thing, the people, but that's Alabama for you.
It is Alabama. Hey, speaking of which, here's my segue. Coming up, we'll talk about the people of Alabama that have been here for a long time. Dr. Philip Carr, University of South Alabama anthropologist, man who's done the dig, too, on the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and a whole lot more, joins me for hour number one of Midday Mobile. Also, Don Bates from Osprey Initiatives, the guy that invented the litter getter. He's joining us on today's show as well.
All right, y'all stay tuned for that. Well, I have got to get out of here. I will try to do better on Tuesday. Everybody have a great Labor Day weekend. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.